Hey, good morning, everyone. It's my joy to be with you this morning, sharing from the Word of God. Recently, several people that Helen and I knew from our Papua New Guinea days died, and we were sad at hearing this. But now we are rejoicing because they are in heaven. They are both Christians, and they are better off now. And we think, well, what is heaven like? Are we looking forward to going to heaven? Or have we so much more to achieve in this life that we are not wanting to go to heaven, not right now? We may be troubled about what the future holds, the uncertainty that is in this world, the uncertainty in our life. And we may be troubled about, well, what happens after we die? Let us pray. Father, help us this morning to be encouraged through your word and to be challenged through your word. Amen. The disciples were troubled at the words that Jesus told them, that he was soon to leave them. Where was he going? And what would be their future? And let us listen to how Jesus answered. And Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." So it was just a time where Jesus was to go from them, but they would be reunited with him. And what more could they ask for? And Jesus, when he said, "My Father's house had many rooms," was referring to heaven. And heaven existed before Jesus was to get there. But how did Jesus go to return? He went by way of the cross and of the resurrection to prepare a place for his followers. Can we apply these words to our times and our troubles? Can we find peace and comfort in these words of Jesus when he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come and take you, be with me, so that you also may be where I am." And we know that Jesus is coming back sometime, whether it's in our lifetime or after. But Jesus is wanting us to be where he is. What a great hope that we have. And so heaven is the abode of God, the place where God is dwelling. Heaven is where believers will be for all eternity. And therefore we are to encourage each other with the words that we have heard and the words that we are hearing. I counted up recently that I've lived in 19 different places. 19. What a lot of shifting. Some places I've liked better than others. But what do we look for when we choose a place to live? Is it the location? Is it the neighbourhood, the work opportunities, the enjoyment opportunities, the size of the house, the number of rooms, and so on? And sometimes we have an opportunity to send material and things, belongings, ahead to the next house we are going in. And that happened while we were in Mildura. We may ask, what is the size of our room in heaven? Or how many rooms will we be given? What will we do in heaven? Will the neighbourhood be good? Will we have friends in heaven? Let us turn to other scriptures, or to scripture, to learn more about heaven. And the book of Revelation in particular gives us various aspects of heaven. Firstly, the reading that we've just read this morning, Revelation 21, 1-7. John saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the holy city was coming down from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. New and holy point to characteristics distinguishing it from the present world. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. A young lady is thoroughly prepared and looking her best for her husband on the day of her wedding. And so with those who make up the bride of Christ. And so Jesus, in the first reading we had, said there are many rooms. And here John is describing the holy city coming down from God. Similar concept, a place prepared for us. And John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them." My mind went back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve walked with God and served God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. What more could a person want? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. And what a great hope we have. And sometimes we despair with the way things are going in the world. But we look forward to what God has promised. No more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. And in Revelation 21, verses 18-21, and we read that the splendor of heaven far exceeds anything that we've yet experienced. Describes the wall of the city being made of jasper. The city was made of pure gold. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The 12 gates of the city were 12 pearls. The great street of the city was pure gold. And I sense that John was lost for words as how to describe this vision that he had of heaven, that the new city come down from heaven. And there is more in Revelation 21, 22-28. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. And I find it hard to imagine. We're so used to the sun and the light that we get from the sun and all that the sun does. But this new city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. Why? Because the glory of the Lord gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. Nothing impure will enter into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there'll be no more evil people there. No more trouble. What a great hope we have. And Revelation 22, 1-7, again, we think back to the Garden of Eden as we read of God's provision in that new city. The angel, John writes, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. The Lord God will give them light, they will reign forever and ever. And so God's intention from the beginning was to have fellowship with men. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. We read in Genesis chapter 3 how that fellowship was broken, but God continually was reaching out to rescue mankind. And ultimately he did that through his son coming to earth and dying on a cross to save us from our sins. So we read of God's provision of sustenance, the water of life, provision of food, provision of light, his light. And we think, what a wonderful world it's going to be. And what will we do in heaven for eternity? In that last passage from Revelation 22, it says we will serve him and we will reign with him. We are given only a few glimpses about the activities of the people who will be in heaven. One quality of our life in heaven will be rest, not merely ceasing of activities that we're so used to doing on earth, but the experience of reaching a goal of crucial importance. Heaven will be the completion of our pilgrimage, the end of our struggle against the flesh with its desires, the world with its temptations, and of the devil. There will be work to do, but it will not involve fighting against opposing forces. Another facet of life in heaven will be worship. In Revelation 19 we read, "Then I heard a great multitude shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory.'" And maybe our worship and praise here are a preparation and practice for our future worship with hearts and voices in heaven as we come face to face with God and with Jesus. What a day of celebration, or days of celebration, that will be. Are we looking forward to that time? And there'll be fellowship among believers, and we'll be catching up with people who have departed. And Revelation 22:12-16 speaks of the reward that God gives to everyone according to what he has done. And at times I'm troubled as I read this, and I think, well, we think, well, what have we done that will be of heavenly significance? And I think of a person that I knew when I was a young person at Seton Baptist Church, and he thought he was nobody really in the kingdom of God. He thought he didn't have any great gifts or abilities. And he was a humble man, but he, in my opinion, he was such a man of great encouragement in his quiet way. And maybe we too can be, in our humble way, such an influence on people while we are living on this earth. Are we simply required to be doing the will of God while on this world, being faithful to his calling? And I think that's it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So in heaven, how are people rewarded? We are all worshipping, we are all serving, we are all enjoying the presence of God. Maybe we could all be engaging in the same activity, but some enjoying it more than others. If I went to a classical music concert, I may not be thrilled, because I don't appreciate classical music. But there are others, maybe like Kathleen and Helen down here, who would be so thrilled because they are trained to do that. Perhaps those who have enjoyed worship more in this life will find greater satisfaction in the life beyond. I don't know, but God says you will be rewarded. I'm not sure in what way, but I think all we need to do is just be faithful and serve God whatever way we can here, because we're not saved by our works. With life, will life in heaven be boring? Eternity is such a long time. I don't think it will be boring. In Colossians 1:9, we read where Paul is praying that God will fill the Christians at Colossae with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in his knowledge, in the knowledge of God. And I think, when I get to heaven, I've got such a lot of questions to ask God, so much that I don't know. Where did all the stuff come from to make the earth? How come there's only so many elements? And how come carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen are just so important in life? And there could be questions enough for to last eternity. Not to mention seeing Moses and all the other people, or seeing our friends. What a joy it will be. And how should we be living a life while we're on earth? Sometimes people say of Christians, they're so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. But I think we need to be heavenly minded to be living a life that is meaningful on earth. Because when we are, our thoughts are focused on heaven and the great hope that we have, then we can be an encouragement to others that we meet and share with them the hope that we have. So in Colossians 3, Paul says, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Clothe yourself with godly ways. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." So, and then there are similar thoughts in Matthew chapter 6. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And I thought, well, how do we store up treasures in heaven? And I think it's just by doing the will of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, "In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." But how do we get to heaven? Is everyone going to heaven? And so we think back to John 14:6 that we've read this morning. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And And there's so many verses that we know of how we can get to heaven through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Will everyone be in heaven? Well, in Revelation 21:27 we read, "Nothing impure will enter into heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Is your name in the Lamb's book of life if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to give his life for us? then your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Revelation 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the idolaters, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So it's the unbelieving, those who do not believe in Jesus, and by their actions they show that they are not believers in Jesus. They are the ones who won't be in heaven. They'll be in hell. But John 3:16 says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For many years before she died, my mother said, time and time again, I've packed my bags. My bags are packed, ready to go to heaven. And that was her hope. And she was ready to go to heaven at any time. But she had to wait for 6 years of dementia to pass before she went to heaven. But she had that great hope. Are we longing to meet Jesus? Should we have spent more time trying to know Jesus and pray to him and communicate with him and listen to him? That we might say, well, let me first do these things on earth. These things are important. Back in 1968-69, Helen and I were separated from each other for a year. But we communicated with each other. Not with the modern communication devices today, but by writing letters. And I know for my part, whenever I got a letter from heaven, I was so excited, I sat down and read it and reread it. And just preparing to meet up with her again. And we did. And so we come back to the words of Jesus to his troubled disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me, said Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. What a great hope we have. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the joy that we can share with each other this morning, that you have made this great provision for us. Not only are you with us while we're here on this earth, but we are going to heaven and we'll be meeting you face to face, and what a joy that will be. And when we hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.